Thank you so, so very much. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We're talking about your friends, your future. If you show me the people you're hanging out with, if you show me the people that you are closely associated with, I can predict your future. Not by the Spirit of God, not by magic, not by reading your palm, but because the Word of God tells us that you are becoming like the people that are around you. And so when I look at the people that you are associating with, that is your future. Amen? Do I have your attention this morning? All right. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Amen. And I am so amazed that of how many people seek prosperity and seek success and yet ignore the biblical ways of achieving it. We want a touch. We want oil. We want some prophet to say something over us. But aren't you glad that God has already given us the instruction that we need for our life? It's right here from his word. And so if we make the word of God first, if we put it in our mouth and in our heart, but then we are careful to associate with the people who are on the right path, we're going to get to the destination that God has for our life. Amen. Now, turn with me, and this will be our text really for the entire time we talk about this, in Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Message Bible says, "Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces." But I want to call your attention to just a word in that verse, in the first part, and that is the word walks. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Now, life is not something that is static, or that is that it's not moving. We are moving through time. Amen. Men, you used to have more hair than you did a few years ago, right? When you went up 3 flights of stairs, you used to not get as tired as you do now, right? There's hair growing out of your ears and out of your nose, and tell your neighbor, things are changing. Things don't stay the same. They just simply don't stay the same. Sometimes I think when we're kids, when we're teenagers, we just think, you know, that life is forever, the life we have on this earth. But God says to number your days, number them. I had a pastor friend who actually did that. He said, "Well, if I think I'm going to live to about this age, according to the word of God," and he came up with a number, and realizing that every day that goes by, that number is getting smaller. And so it means to be wise, to be careful. And so as we are walking in life and we are headed to a destination, and that's really what prosperity means. You have a successful journey and God wants that for your life. But when we are walking and we're going places, we have companions. We have people who are with us in life's journey. And we were not meant to walk alone. Amen. And that's for all of you non-Liverpool supporters. You're not supposed to walk alone. Okay. We go places, but we're to go places with others. Now, what God says is the people who are on your journey are important. Who are you walking with in life together? And one of the key things we're going to see today is, are Now, the destination that you've chosen, hopefully from God's word, the people who are walking with you, have they chosen that same destination? Have they chosen to have the same guidebook of life? Have they chosen to have the same map and the same course that they are following? Because who you walk with is going to be vitally, vitally important. New Living Translation says, whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. Now, I want to ask you a question today is, who is on your team? Team you. Now, whatever team you follow, and many people follow different teams, and depending on who wins on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, Facebook lights up with joys or, you know, sadness. And during the off season, everybody wants to get new players on their team, right? Are we going to get rid of Wayne Rooney? Are we going to keep him? Who's the young superstars coming up, and can we afford them? And if the club you support doesn't have a lot of money, well, God bless you. Things are going to be sad for you. Unless you've got a billionaire Russian owning your team, you're in trouble. All right. So, but it's important to say who's on the team and what is the component of the team. And especially when teams lose, they say, you know, it's these midfielders. We're weak at the back. And so it's very important to compose a team to win, to get the goals that they set out for in the beginning of the year. So, but when you're following a sports team, you have no control over who they buy and sell, who gets transferred, right? But team you are the one who controls that. You are the one who determines who's on your team and who you're going to walk with together in life. Now, I want to submit to you today that there's a number of people, types of people, that you need to recruit for your team, that you need to make sure that they are on your team. And as you go through life, what you're going to find out is the people that are in your life sometimes come and go. I just saw a couple last week in the lobby, and they were a part of this church for many years, and they were part of a connection group, and God just blessed them. And then I think it was last year, maybe 18 months ago, we prayed for them, and they live in another country now. Now, they came and visited, and they saw their friends here, but how many of you know it's not the same, right? 17,000 miles away. But they had to recruit new people for their team in a new country. So you come and go, people come and go, we change. And so this is a never-ending process of, Lord, do I have the right people on my team to help me get to where I need to go in life? Now, I think one of the most amazing statements in Scripture is that when God created a perfect world, it was perfect because He made it. Man had not messed it up. Man had not influenced it yet. But God, every single day that He made the earth, when He was finished, He said, it is good. And then when you came around on day number 6, He said, it's very good. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you're very good. Created in the image of God. So this wonderful, perfect world, and God says every day is wonderful, this perfect creation. And then the very next chapter, God says, it's not good. Now, this was before sin in chapter 3. This was before man had made any bad decisions. God says, it's not good that man should be alone. Every other animal had a companion. Every other animal had 2x2. Yet Adam was alone. And so God brought someone to Adam for life's journey. Amen? And so today, it is not good that you would be alone. You are not going to make it in life by yourself. You've got to have people on your team. Now, what types of people and what type of positions should they play? All right? Now, obviously in Psalm 1, it talks about one of the things that it says is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. All right. And so, first of all, let's ask ourselves, and we want to look at three groups of people on your team. But before we ask that question, let's ask the question, well, what relationship should you have with people who are ungodly? All right. What relationship should you have with people who are either Christians who are very, very carnal, who are not living for God, or people that simply don't know Jesus and are not listening to God or trying to follow God with any purpose? And unfortunately, I think the church, we've gotten this wrong in the past. Historically, when it comes to our relationship to ungodly people, we've taken kind of two extremes. One is we treat the world like they're lepers. And that, you know, we've got to buy our clothes from a Christian shop and buy our Christian coffee and have Christian shoes and go to church seven times a week. And I want to work at a Christian company and listen to Christian music and have just Christian everything. And so the world kind of feels that we consider them taboo and lepers. You know, when lepers in the time of Jesus, when they came into public, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so sometimes the church, we haven't asked the world to do that. We do it for them. Unclean, unclean. And we just simply avoid the world at all costs. And then the other extreme is that we just become like the world. And there's no difference, there's no distinction, and we just hang out with them and they influence, instead of us being salt and influence to the world, they completely change who we are. So how does this work? Now, I think the great example that we have is Jesus Christ. And what we see in the life of Jesus is that his best friends were his disciples. The people that he hung out with, the people that he did life together with, the people that he prayed with were people that he had chosen. And these were people who were doing their best to follow God. But Jesus was also mentioned as a friend of sinners. And that is that he could have a meal with them. And he didn't have to cast out all the devils, you know, and anoint the place with oil. And sinners felt welcomed in his presence. And it wasn't because he poured tequila shots for all of them. No, it wasn't because he told dirty jokes and they thought, man, now here's a cool rabbi. No, he never compromised. He never lowered his standard. But here's what I believe Jesus did with sinners, is he showed them value. There was intrinsic value in a person. You see, Jesus came for the ungodly. Jesus died for sinners. And so when he saw a sinner, he realized this person, even though they might be dirty, even though they might not be doing the right thing, they have never lost their value to God. And if God values them, then I can value them. Amen. And so we should have people in our life that are ungodly, but they're not the people that we call for help. They're not the closest people to our life, but yet we influence them. Amen. That they know that we're not just trying to fix them, but that we really, really love them, that we care for them, that we show them value. Amen. So we should never completely have none of these types of people in our life. They should just be in the right position. Amen. Just like Jesus Christ. Now, the types of people on your team, I believe Paul had these people on his team. All right. And there are three types of people you need to make sure are on your team at all times. Number one, you need mentors. People that are fathers, people that are farther on life's road than you, people that you can look up to. Secondly, you need disciples. People that you are helping. People that you are lifting and pouring into their life. Like Paul had Timothy. And then lastly, you need peers. People that are somewhat where you are in life's journey. Paul had Barnabas. And when Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the church at Jerusalem, the leadership was very fearful of him and they weren't sure what to do with him. Barnabas, who was respected by the leadership, he vouched for Paul. He said, you know what? I know him and I'm going to believe in him. And Barnabas became a friend of Paul. In fact, his name is Son of Encouragement. And you need to make sure in your life at all times you've got people that you are looking up to, people that you can follow. You need to make sure that you are influencing others, people that are following you. And then you need to make sure that you have peers, that is, people that are somewhat where you are. And really it's all about the idea of a journey. And you're on a path. And on your team, you need people who are ahead of you on the path. They've already done some things that you've not done. They are able to help you to overcome obstacles that you've never faced before. And then there are people, and really regardless of where you are in Jesus, do you know that you're beyond some people? You're more mature than somebody else, and they need to be able to follow you. And then you need people right beside you that will be with you during the journey. All right, let's look at the area of mentors. Or fathers, or people that are beyond where you are. What it simply means is that they have more of what you don't have. They're more godly. They're more developed. They have more wisdom. Amen. And we need to make sure, again, with this idea of a journey and where people are, I believe that we should respect our elders. Amen. That we should honor our people, our family and our uncles and our aunts and our grandparents and those in society that simply are older than us. Amen. And I believe it's a biblical value. But let me do present this to you. Not all older people should be followed. They should be respected. They should be honored. You should treat them in a certain way. Amen. But they might not be on your path. They may have been 80 years not serving God. And so as far as being a godly influence to you, you know, bless them and honor them. But you need to, you know, take their what they consider wisdom with a grain of salt. Amen. And I've had people in my life and I've had relatives who, you know, and I appreciate them and Haley and I had relationship with them, but you know, for 80 years, they didn't follow Jesus on purpose. And it showed at the end of their life. Sorry, am I allowed to say that? Okay. And so yes, we're in their life, but we need people who are elders in the faith. Elders in godliness, elders in wisdom, elders in battles that they have faced that we have never faced. Amen. If you are a young couple, you need to have people in your life that have been married longer than you have. If you're raising small children, you need to get advice from people who have big kids. Amen. I am so amazed at how young couples sometimes, you know, they're raising children and it's the first child and, you know, they read one book and they watched Oprah and now they're an expert on raising kids. And their moms and their dads and other people are thinking, what in the world are you doing with that child? And if they would just listen to people who are beyond them, there's things that they would understand and gain from someone else's experience. And that's the wonderful thing about life, is that all of us learn through experience. And God wants you to have experiences that you've never had before. And we need to keep growing and learning. But the wonderful thing is we can reach into the future our future because someone else has already been there. Amen. When we came to build this building, this church, we got someone who had been building churches for 25 years. And they had made mistakes, and thankfully, somebody else paid for their mistakes, so we didn't have to pay for their mistakes. Experience is so wonderful, and you can have that in your life when you have a mentor. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." So there are people that God puts into your life, people that are godly elders, people that are beyond you, and you can follow their faith. And you consider the outcome of their conduct, their lifestyle. What has it produced? Amen? And that's one of the great temptations of youth, is that, well, you know, these people aren't as hip and they don't know the lingo and they're just following each other. Amen? You know, and I mentioned this, I think it was last year, you know, young girls that, you know, they get all decked out and dressed up and everything. And you know, a fellow 17-year-old tells them, "Wow, you look good, girlfriend." Don't ask a 17-year-old how you look. Ask your grandmother how you look. Your grandmother's been around a little while. Mm-hmm. All right, that went over real well. Okay. You need to have people in your life that are farther down the road that you are on. You're going where they've already been. You've got to trust God for these people in your life. You've got to look for the divine connections that happen, that God brings into your life. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Who are you following? "Well, I just follow Jesus." No, who's Jesus with skin on that you're following? "Well, I submit to no man." Yeah, and you're ungodly too. That's not how life works. There are people in this life that we follow. Now, here's an important thing. If we're going to follow Paul, we better make sure he's following Christ. Amen? And let me just say this. You need to always make sure you go to a church where your pastor is following Jesus. Amen? And if they're not, find a church where a pastor is following Jesus. Amen? Philippians 4 and verse 9. Paul, again, he's talking to a different church, not the church at Corinth, but now the church at Philippi. He said, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you." Have you ever heard a parent tell their child, "Do as I say, not as I do"? The child won't do that. Amen? And typically, parents, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. Paul not only preached something, but he lived something. Character is built by being godly over time. Character is proven over a time period. All right, so we need to have fathers. We need to have mentors. We need to have people in our life that we are looking up to and that are farther in life's journey. Then we need people in our life that are following us. People that are like what Paul had, Timothys. These are people that you are mentoring, all right? Who listens to you? Some of you are thinking, I don't even know if the dog at my house listens to me. I really believe that wherever you are in life, someone is looking up to you. Someone is watching you. Someone is seeing your lifestyle. And we need to be purposeful in our influence. We need to be purposeful in sharing with someone that's not where we are and that is following us. Now, again, what you need to make sure is in your Timothys, are they on your path? Are they headed where you're headed? Because you can waste a lot of time in life trying to mentor someone who's not going where you're going. And you just used all that time and that effort, and it really didn't accomplish a whole lot. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And this is such a wonderful passage in what Paul is able to communicate, but it's also a very sad passage. And it's a very sobering as well. Paul is talking to the church at Philippi and saying, I'm not able to come to you, but I'd like to send Timothy to you. And I'd like to see how you're doing. And so he's telling him, then he describes Timothy. Philippians 2 verse 19, he said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded. Now, here's the thing. Paul knew a lot of people. Paul had influenced a lot of people. And he said, I don't have anyone who is like-minded. That's scary. That's sobering. But since it's in the Bible, it's true. And here's what he said when he talked about like-minded. Who will sincerely care for your sake? For all seek their own. Now, when Paul's referring to all, he's referring to all of his ministry colleagues. He's talking about fellow pastors, fellow disciples, people that are following Jesus. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know, back to Timothy, you know his proven character. And here's the thing. There's only proven character. There's no other kind of character. Character has to be proven. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Who are you teaching? Who are you mentoring? Who's watching you? You know, it's sobering for me that as a pastor, and I know a lot of your children are in the children's church, all right? And they don't necessarily come here. And I'm sometimes a little bit amazed how they even know who I am. All right, I don't go back and visit them. My picture and my wife and I's picture is not displayed, you know, in the children's. They don't pledge allegiance to the pastor and his wife for which we stand, you know. But there's a lot of little kids that come up to me and they say, Pastor. And the mom says, he won't get in the car until he greets you this morning. Hey, Pastor, I'm going to be a pastor like you one day. You know what? That's more than cute. It's scary. And there are people in your life right now that are watching you. They know you're a Christian. They know you go to church. And they want to see what your life is like. And so use your influence and use that position that God has given you to influence them towards Jesus Christ. Amen. Speak into their life. Be a blessing to them. And then lastly, and I'd like to spend some time here, is in the area of our peers. That is people that are relatively kind of where you are in the journey of life. 2 Corinthians 6:14 It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now again, we know that Jesus still touched the life of a sinner. Jesus still was able to have supper at a sinner's house and showed them value. But the key word here in this verse is yoke. It's the idea, and maybe you've seen it, of a yoke of oxen. That if you have one ox plowing a field, there's only so much that they can do. But if you put two or four or six together, then there's a whole lot more than they can do when they're together. Now, in order for them to plow in the same direction, people all over the world for thousands of years have used yokes or some type of a harness that connects them to each other. And so as the farmer or the field hand is guiding these oxen, they're all going in the same direction. They're all plowing in one way. And what makes that happen is this harness or this yoke that I'm right beside you and we're together. And so what the Bible says is that we need to be yoked or connected together with fellow believers because we're plowing in the same direction. We're going this way. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Agreed. Now, this, we're talking about these partnerships in life. And these verses get quoted a lot when it comes to marriage and choosing a spouse. Are you walking in the same way? Do you have the same Savior? Do you have the same Lord? Well, but Pastor, I really love him. Well, I'm glad you love him. But are they going in the same direction as you in life? Because it is going to be a world of trouble if you're not headed in the same direction. When it comes to a business partner, you're putting your money in the same pot. Do you have the same values? Do you have the same guidebook? Do you have the same goals in life? Amen? Close personal friends, those people that are in life's journey together with you. Are you really, really going in the same direction? The Bible has, in the Greek language, a number of different words for love. You know, we love, you know, Man United, and we love our wife, and we love God. But you know, how many of you know those loves are a little bit different? And thankfully, in the Greek language the Bible was written to, with they distinguish, and they have better descriptions. And one of the words for love that we see in the Bible is phileo, and that is brotherly love. All right, sisterly love. This where it's kind of like a friendship where you're together with someone in life. And the Bible talks about this bond that we should have with other believers, your partner, your spouse, your friend. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4. Now, here's the thing. You may say, well, Pastor, you know, I've got some great people in my life. I tell you what, I'm just, you know, I've got this mentorship group and I am just pouring my life into these guys. And man, I tell you what, they are just really listening to me. And yeah, I've got this person, you know, and they're like a father to me. And that's important. But do you have people that are where you are in life? Peers, friends. Because if you don't, there are serious repercussions that will happen in your life. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And we see some incredible benefits of relationship here. Now, what we see is these are people that are close to you in life. They're not way far down the road. They're not way, way, way behind you. But these are people close enough that you are walking together with them. So close that if one of you falls, the other one notices it. Amen? Have you ever had anybody tell you, hey, brother, I'm behind you. And you think, and you get into a crisis and you think, well, you certainly are behind me. You're so far behind me, you didn't even see when I stumbled. And so thank God for people that are behind you. But we need people right here. People that we are walking together, that we are in agreement with, that are close enough that you're holding hands. Amen. And you know what? All over the world, that's a sign of friendship, isn't it? I remember there's a dear man of God in Solwezi, and I've stayed in his home, and he's just a mentor to so many up there, and he's just a beautiful beauty. You just see Jesus in his eyes. And when I see him, and when I've seen him in the past, you know, and we'll greet, and we'll kiss, and we'll just do everything that you need to do, and then he'll just grab a hold of my hand and we'll just walk for a little while. Amen. What is that? It's friendship. Amen. When I was courting my wife, that was a big deal back in the day, was to hold hands and just to walk down the street holding hands. Because what is that? Especially for a guy, what it means is for everybody. All right. You know who has a girlfriend now. All right. Hands off. She's off limits, right? There's a connection. And so some of these benefits are that you're going to be able to accomplish more in life. You have a better reward for your labor. Amen. There's a Zulu proverb that says, if you want to go somewhere quickly in life, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. No one has ever accomplished anything of significance in this world alone. No one. No one. If Jesus could have done it, he would have, but he didn't. He had people in his life. So you're going to be more productive. You're going to have more for your labor. But then it says, verse 10, it says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. And this is really strong language here. It says, woe to him. Now, when you look in the Old Testament, there were like other woes. You know, woe to you, Israel, when you turn to Baal. Woe to you for not following the Lord your God. It means there is serious trouble in your life. Woe. Everybody say, woe. But in life, when you stumble, and I don't want to speak this over your life. It's not a prophecy, but there's going to be stumbles. Amen. There's just trials in this life. And when you stumble and you fall, you better make sure that you have somebody or a group of people that are close enough to pick you up, to help you. Amen. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. There was a really kind of funny commercial when I was a kid in the States. And this was in the day before cell phones. And, you know, there were only landlines. And there was this contraption that you could give to people. And they would wear it around their neck. And it was kind of like a pager or a beeper. And if they pressed it, they could get a message out to you quickly. And they were showing how important this was. And one of the parts of the commercial was it was an elderly lady. It was maybe like your grandmother, and she was in where she was about to take a bath, and she was laying on the floor of the bath, and she pushed this button and she said, I've fallen and I can't get up. But see, that's what happens when you're alone. You can't get up. And you need someone to lift you. Do you have those people in your life. And see, here's the thing. When you fall, that's not the right time to recruit people. They need to already be there. They need to be already in your life. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Spouses, you now have scriptural precedent and permission to put your cold feet in July against the feet of your spouse. Don't put your cold feet on me. I'm just obeying the Bible, baby. Right? Now, I don't think this is only referring to being warm in bed with your spouse. All right? This is great advice in the wintertime, okay? But what I believe it's speaking of is the warmth of relationship, the emotional connection that we have with people, and that things are just better when you're with somebody else. There's a warmth, there's a camaraderie, there's a kinship, and it's kind of hard to get warm alone. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. What is this talking about? The battles of life. This is not just a stumble where, you know, you didn't see the path very well, or you were distracted and you fell down. But this is when you got attacked. This is an outside force coming against you. And if you don't have somebody to help you in life's battles, you can be overcome. Amen? You need to have some Mike Tysons in your corner. Amen? And you don't have to be that strong if you're on a strong team. Amen? Get people around you that will help fight for you and with you. And then lastly, it speaks of strength. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's you and God and somebody else. And people have been making rope like this forever. And when you twine it and you bind it together, it's actually stronger than all of the pieces separately or just added together. In the business world, they call it synergy. Now, as I said, in life, these types of relationships change. They evolve. And my wife and I, in our own life together, 19 years of being married, we have seen how these have changed in our life. When we first got married, we had gone to Bible college, and we had just incredible friends around us. We had married couples. None of us had kids yet. And we would laugh, I'm telling you, until tears poured out of our face. We would eat together. We'd pray together. We just loved hanging out together. And we'd stay till 2 in the morning at somebody's house. And none of us had tons of money, but we'd just eat together. And it was just awesome. Wonderful, wonderful people. And then God said, move. And so we moved to South Africa, and we moved to a little town called Rustenburg, and they were really nice people, but very, very few people there spoke English. And so I remember one time we had some friends that invited us over for a dinner party, and you know, they were people that lived down the road from us, and we went to this house, and they were all really nice people. The only problem was they all spoke Afrikaans. And once we got by, you know, buy a donkey and Tutsins, I mean, there was not much fellowship there that night. And so there was this barrier. And then we just kind of realized, you know what, all of these precious, wonderful friends, there was no internet back then, and we're just cut off. And we had people that were mentoring us and people that we worked with, and they were all great people, but it was all new. We didn't have friends. And so we just said, Lord, and we kind of whined and complained about it for months. And then we decided to pray about it. Have you discovered that praying does more than, has a lot more benefits than whining and complaining? Prayer works. And so we just prayed, Lord, you know what? We need people in our life where we are. And my wife got connected and just through a series of circumstances to a ladies' Bible study. And they were all ladies that had babies. And so the nice thing was they all had husbands. And we got connected to about 3-4 couples that today are still friends in our life. That I remember one time we had a battle. My wife's grandfather passed away. It was the first funeral I ever did, and we extended our stay in the States to be there at the funeral, and we didn't think about it, and we forgot about our visas. And there was, back, you had to have a reentry visa in that day and everything. And so Haley and the kids, I stayed in the States, but Haley and the kids got to Johannesburg Airport and they wouldn't let her in because the visa had expired. And these people were not happy. And they were going to, no, you're going to have to go back. And one of these couples, one of these guys, he stayed up all night, came to the airport, and he fought for us and helped make this happen. We couldn't fight the battle alone. We couldn't, but someone, and I was kind of paralyzed. I was halfway across the world, but someone cared enough about us. And it was one of these peers. It was one of these friends that came alongside and just wouldn't take no for an answer. Amen. You need those types of people. Now, there have been other times in our life where I know when we were serving with Ed and Lori Elliott for 6-7 years, and they really, if anyone's influenced our life, it's been them. And they raised us in ministry, and they taught us how to love each other. They taught us how to raise our kids. They taught us how to laugh and to enjoy life and to love people. And they poured into our life. And they mentored us because they were farther down the road than where we were. And I thank God for those 7 years. And I thank God for the debt that the Elliots have put into my life. And I can tell you for a fact that I wouldn't be standing before you today if it wasn't for Ed and Lori Elliott. And I thank God for their life. But then they moved and God changed their ministry and things like that happen in life. So in 2000... We were loving life, we were enjoying, but we kind of looked around and we thought, you know what? We have these younger couples and other people in ministry, and we're mentoring them and we're pouring into them and we're giving them advice, and it was really, really fun. But we realized, we said, Lord, we don't have anyone in our life right now close that are beyond us in ministry. And we just prayed a very simple prayer. Lord, we thank you for bringing people into our life that will mentor us, that will care for us, that again are farther in life where we are. And within, Haley, I don't know, 3-4 months, almost through just supernatural experiences, 3 different ministry couples, people that we maybe knew but we didn't, they kind of just appeared in our life. And today, those people are so close to us. They're the people that we call. They're the people that speak into our life and give us advice and pour into us. And they care about us. Many of these people, they call us before we call them. Fathers, mothers, people that pour into our life. And we realized that there was a deficit. Now, just the other day, I had been praying and seeking the Lord about some things. And I just realized, you know what, I need me, Pastor Walker, I need peers in my life. I need people that are walking. And I know, you know, I love every single one of you. And I know it's so funny sometimes when we meet at Mondo Hill or arcades, you know, and maybe I'll be wearing shorts or, you know, flip-flops or something. And they're saying, Pastor, it's so nice to see you, not in a suit. Well, you know, I don't wear a suit on Saturdays. Hallelujah. All right. But I need some people in my life that kind of fellow pastors where we can talk and pray. And God just laid somebody on my heart. And I talked to him this last week. And you know what was so funny is when I talked to him, I said, you know, I just want to have somebody in my life where we can just share it. And we've had that to a small degree, but I wanted to raise it up make it a steady part of my life. And he said, you know what? He said, I feel the very same way. And this guy is, I guess technically he's a bishop, you know, he's raising up other pastors. And he said, I just kind of feel like I can't be myself with them. And so he just kind of poured out his heart. And we were at the very same place. It was kind of like when you're, you know, 17 years old and you really like this girl and you're not sure if she likes you. And do you like, oh, I've loved you all these years. Thank you for finally telling me. I had to initiate that. I had to make this happen. And I am just so excited about having somebody to pray with and to talk with. And that I can just really understand where I'm going through and I can understand where he, amen. And in life today, I want you to take inventory. Who are the people down the road of your life? Who are the people more experienced, who are wiser than you are? If you are always the smartest person in the room, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. You've got to have people smarter than you, wiser than you, more experienced than you, more godly than you. Who are they? Who are they? Actually, you know what? Go ahead and just take out your bulletin. Take out a bulletin, a piece of paper. If you write in the back of your Bible, I don't know who it is. However you like to take notes. But let's just do this. Let's take an inventory today. So number one, mentors. People farther in life than you. Who are they? Who are these people? Now, are they really connected to you? Do they care about you? Then ask yourself, are they godly? Again, they might be older, but are they following the Lord Jesus? Can you follow their faith? Can you follow their example? Who are those people? Then secondly, write down the people that you are mentoring, the Timothys of your life. Who looks up to you? Who are you pouring into? Who are those people? Do you know who they are? And then lastly, who are your peers? Who are the ones that you are yoked together with? Who are the ones that are close enough that you can hold their hand? That there's an agreement and there's a connection and you can walk together. So who are these people in your life? Now here's the other thing you need to ask yourself is, what decisions do I need to make today? And like I said, there have been many, many times for my wife and I, when we look at this list, there are deficits at times. There are times where it's not what it should be. And you have to proactively today take responsibility for building team you. No one is going to do this for you. These people will not parachute out of an airplane and land in your backyard. Do not expect them to meet you in the lobby of church today and say, the angel of the Lord appeared to me. No. You've got to make this happen. You've got to make this happen. It's your job. It's your responsibility. And you've got to make sure, and let me put this, your spouse doesn't get to be on this list. Your spouse is your spouse. All right? That's your co-heir. That's the partner in life. I'm talking about people other than your spouse. Amen? How many of you have some work to do? Now I'm telling you, on Thursday, I did some of this work. All right? I'm going to see somebody on Monday. Amen? What? Building team Walker. Building team me. And what are you doing about this in your life? Because the fact of the matter is, woe to you if you are alone. Woe to you. And you need more than the Holy Spirit. You need more than just Jesus in heaven. Thank God he's in your life, but you need people where Jesus lives in. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't fly around the world as a dove. The Holy Spirit lives in people. And for you to get more of God in your life, you need more godly people in your life. Amen? All right. So let's pray. And I want you to pray about your list. I want you to pray about these people. And I believe the Holy Spirit will help you today to see some things and to take some actions and to be proactive about this. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are on a journey. Our destination is Jesus, to be like him, for him to work in and through our life. And Father, we cannot do this alone. And Lord, I realize that people in this room maybe have been discouraged by other people. Maybe they've had a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a romantic relationship where things went wrong. Maybe they had a friend who was not godly to them. But Lord, I thank you that just because we have had disappointment, you haven't changed your plan. You haven't changed the way that you work in our life. And one of your greatest, greatest ways that you work is through people. But Father, we need them in our life. So Father, I thank you that each and every one of us can really be honest today, first of all. That we can truly make an assessment in the light. And not pretend that something is there when it's not there. And then Father, that we would look to you and realize if there are some gaps and some deficiencies. Lord, if you care about this, then you have a plan for this. You can help us. So Father, right now, and I just encourage you, just right now, make a request to the Lord. Just like my wife and I did. Father, we need people beyond us. Father, we need peers. Lord, who are we mentoring? Right now, just ask him. Ask him. Right out loud. If you're here with your spouse, if this is something for you as a couple want to do, Father, we ask you that we will have the right people and the right type of people in our life. Lord, we look to you. Thank you that your word gives us your will, but you always have a plan for us to experience it. So we thank you, Father. We look to you and we praise you today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our lives right now. We love you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Glory to you. Father, right now, Lord, would you also deal with our hearts that those who are already on our team, our mentors, the people we're looking after, the people our peers, Father, may we give them the attention and the appreciation that is needed and that is right. Father, may we not take the people that you've already brought into our life for granted. Lord, may we esteem them and see them with the same view that you see them. May we recognize and realize who they are. Father, thank you so much. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to be connected to you, Jesus, the head of the church, but that we're connected to each other, where every joint supplies, where every supporting ligament does its own special work. Father, thank you that we're becoming what you want us to be. We love you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place and you don't know the Lord Jesus, what we talked about today is going to be difficult for you because the relationships that you have are going to be really less than he wants. And he wants to be the example of what a true friend is. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend who laid down his life for you. The Bible mentions that every now and then in this earth, someone will die and give their life for someone else And typically it's for a good person. Someone will sacrifice their life for a noble and a good person. But very rarely does anyone die for a worthless person. Does anyone die for someone that is not good? But Jesus did that. He died for you and I when we were so sinful and so dirty and so full of rebellion, ignoring God, going our own way. And yet He came and He showed you value, and He showed how important you are to Him by giving His life for you. Now, why did He do that? Because there's only one way back to God. And it's not through your efforts. It's not through your wisdom. It's not through being religious or going to church. But it's someone else had to die for you. Someone else had to take your sin and your judgment. And Jesus did that. And He shows you love today. And today, He wants you to accept that. Because this gift has been offered, but it must be received individually. Every person on the planet Earth has a choice. You can choose to reject it. You can choose to walk away. Or you can say yes. And today I pray that would be your prayer. Say, I don't know Jesus, but I'm ready to accept Him into my life. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian and you need to come home to Him. If that's you, you can. You can receive forgiveness. You can be washed. You can be cleansed today. If that's you, it's time to reach out to Jesus. Don't run away from the one who wants to help you. And right now, I'd like to pray a prayer with anyone who would like to make those decisions today, to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, or to come back home to Him today. And so that we can pray together, I'd ask you, wherever you are in this auditorium, simply raise up your hand. Lift it up real, real big, real high so I can see it. I want to pray with you. I want to see you connected to God. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, over here. God bless you so much. Wonderful. Yes, wonderful. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I am ready to make this decision. I want to say yes to Jesus. Yes, God bless you, young lady. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Can we all stand in the auditorium today? If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, just come and meet me up front right now. I'd ask you just grab your Bible, your belongings. Just come and join me up front. I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to shake your hand and see God do an amazing, wonderful work in your heart and your life today. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. Loves you so much. God bless you, young man. Great, great. Now, today you've not come to a church or to a man, but to God Himself. And the way to God is through Jesus Christ. So I want to lead you in a prayer that will make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, the first place in your life. Are you ready to do that? All right. I would just ask you, just go ahead and close your eyes. It's just between you and God. And just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because that's who we're talking to. We're talking to God. And say this with me. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was punished for my sin. And you raised Him from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. Give you my whole life. I turn away from my sin and I turn to you now. Thank you, Jesus, that you'll never leave me. You will never forsake me. I'm in your family now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for this decision that you've made. You really, really are